Lord is good. Do it like you believe it. The Lord is good.
All the time.
Now, please, can you tell somebody on your left, on your right, the Lord is good? Just turn the hair. Tell somebody. Yeah, tell the person the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's open our Bible to Psalm number 2. From there, we shall declare the glory of the Lord this morning, the book of Psalms number 2. One of these things we do here, please. The aim is that we'll make them habits in our personal lives, okay? So don't just do them here. Learn to do them at home also. All right, 1-2, let's go. Why are the nations in an opera, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry, and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So thus we have declared the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And we say, he is the King of Kings. Answer an amen to that.
Amen.
He's the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
He's the King of Kings.
Amen.
He's a governor amongst the nations.
Amen.
We declare him as governor amongst the nations.
Amen.
He's Lord over our lives.
Amen.
Say it, he's Lord over my life.
He's Lord over my life.
Say it again.
He's Lord over my life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Therefore I am saved. Say somebody, therefore I'm saved.
Therefore I'm saved.
Turn to your neighbor, say, he's Lord over my life.
He's Lord over my life.
Therefore I am saved.
Therefore I'm saved.
Therefore I'm saved. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Now that we're going to the teaching of the Word of God this morning, as usual, we'll open our hearts to receive insight, we'll open our hearts to receive understanding, and we declare as follows.
God has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Okay, let's continue looking at the servants of God. You know, as you grow in life, you will start understanding that life can be meaningless. If you don't have purpose, a purpose for living. You know, when you are young, you think your problem is money. Give a young man a car, he thinks he has made it. After driving the car for a year or two, you will realize there are other problems. Whether you like it or not, eventually you will find out that life can be frustrating and you cannot satisfy the, they talk about the hole in the heart. That is like, if you watch Do Not Man, this children, the Christian children program, yeah, the donut man. Always, man's, his job is to fix the donut. How does he fix it? Every donut has a hole in the center of it. So Jesus is the thing that will fix your donut. That's what he tries to explain. You know, the truth about life is that Like somebody else, I don't know who said it exactly, but I heard it when I was in Lagos there. My pastor would say, when you grow old enough, you will discover the word of God. Even if you don't read the Bible, an old man will just talk and he will discover scripture. Some of the things I would learn in the Bible, and we started preaching when we were young, and we did not know, but we read. An old man will know it just by living long enough. For example, when Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Those who have worried have discovered after some time that there was no need. When Jesus says, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. People have looked for the abundance of things and gotten it and realized that their life, that was not the key to life. They will come out and smile and deceive you. But that's not the key to life. I was watching one man, he did a video which was circulating on social media. He's a white man, a European. It's a message to his brothers in Africa. That they keep asking him to help them with jobs in Europe. He said, please don't come here. He said, life is not what you think. Then he gave a breakdown of his life. He said, I spent 40 years growing up in Tunisia. And that once his children finish school, he's going back there. That he's tired of living here. I am not saying that it means his country is worse than yours. I'm just saying his country is not better than yours. you look outwardly. Say, look at the road. When you talk like that, I know you don't know life. Are you getting my point? Yeah, I know you don't know life. When the thing you are concerned about is the quality of roads, I know you don't know life. I know you don't. The man talked at the end of the day. He said something. He said, your brothers who are here, he said, they won't tell you the truth because they are ashamed. They have to give you the impression that they are doing okay. He said, oh, please, that nobody should worry him again that they are looking for Olga. He's looking for how to escape from here. You say he should help you come over here. See, as you are growing in life here, you start discovering that many of the things that people run after, they literally are not worth the attention. They're not worth it. I pray that Christians will learn how to relax. I say it again. People say long-term plans. Anytime you are making it, now, make long-term plans if you are jobless. You know, like you wake up in the morning, there's nothing else to do. And I knew a man once, he's a pastor. He's always designed, anytime you enter his house, he's always designing things, the plans, the equipment he needs, and all of that. In my mind, you see, there's nothing else to do. Just by the way. So when someone tells you he's in full-time ministry, what they call full-time ministry, just tell him, make sure you are ministering full-time. The fact that you are not doing business, you are not in civil service, you don't have a career outside anything, is not what makes it full-time ministry. It is that you are ministering full-time. One day, my wife told somebody, he said he's been called to do nothing else but write. He said, do you write more than my husband? Something led to it. He said, is this the only thing you do? Let me see the proof. You can't do nothing else but this, and my husband is writing more than you. No, she said, no, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. That's an aside. So please, if you're in full-time ministry, it's a good thing. You know, I'm not against it. I totally believe in it. Or minister full-time. I shouldn't find you at home at 10 o'clock. Just reading newspapers. I see them reading newspaper at 10 in the morning. They now go and pray at 12, as if those who went to civil service office don't pray at 12. You've not heard of Angelus. People pray at 12. Please minister full time. And it's not hard. Even if only two people come, preach to them every day. If you are preaching every evening, Trust me, you're in full-time ministry. I preach, so I can assure you, you're in full-time ministry. If you're preaching every evening, maybe minus, then on Sunday you do morning. The rest of the week you do every evening. Okay, let's leave Saturday off for you, or Monday. Choose one day off. And you're preaching every evening, you're in full-time, because it's work. It's work. You know, Pastor Kimote, you know he's anointed. But time flies, you know. That was 2021, I think. Was it 2020? Yeah, 2021. Or 2020. That I didn't come for about a month because I wasn't feeling good. Hmm? Yeah, 2021, yes. Anointed man of God. He preached on Saturday. He preached on Tuesday. He preached on Saturday. After one day, he came and told my wife that he can't continue. That day, he said opening prayer and gave my wife the microphone. My wife had to look for something. Imagine, thank God she has seen it being done, so her faith was provoked. I said, I laughed. I said, okay, you think? And that's an anointed man. You know, when I was in Lagos those days, we used to go to church. This guy that used to start services. Then before pastor comes, he will share a word. Then pastor will now come, take his mic, and preach for like 2 hours, 2.5 hours. So that guy used to be full of the Spirit. Full. So one of us were like, hey, pastor should just give this guy one time to discharge. So when the pastor come travel, pastor now left him to preach. I felt sorry for the guy. You know why? After 35 minutes. So all that fire we used to see was finished. So all of us look at, so in our provoke, they make, they used to charge. His anointing will carry 5 minutes. Once it's longer than that, it dissipates. What I'm trying to say is that if that man, if you are preaching every evening, it's work. Don't be full-time ministry and you are not ministering. Then you now say you are doing visitation. It's out of joblessness. You are just looking for what to do. Okay, your job is the ministry of the is prayer and the ministry of the word. This walking around people's homes, they want to rest. Do you follow my point? They've gone to work. Don't come and visit them. And if you are the pastor and you get there, please, after 10 minutes, start going. Yeah, because they have to entertain you. Doesn't mean they don't have anything to do. Please. No, I know what I'm telling you. If you don't have an appointment with people, just say, are you at home? You're already driving there. Then you call them on the way. Are you at home? Should they lie to you? Don't ask them, can you receive guests now? The answer is always yes, because you're the pastor. So if nobody is sick in the house, you're not trying to investigate. Maybe every time the woman comes out, she's wearing big glasses. You want to find out why. So you want to catch them unawares. It's good. That's me. I just want to go and visit. Please, not during the week. You hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
What did I say?
Not during the week.
Yeah, because they went to work morning till evening. That's what I'm trying to explain. Some of you won't like it. What do you, because I'm talking to you, that's why you're provoking like that. You're getting angry for nothing. If you're in full-time ministry, do what? Minister full-time. That's by the way. So this man that will enter his house, you know what he used to do? Plan. Always having plans. Always drawing budgets. Why do people budget for money they don't have? It's faith. It's faith. If it's faith, why do you need a budget? Oh, it's now planned. It's no longer faith. You are portioning the money that has not come. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Brother, I don't do such a thing, right? You can be sitting down having financial meeting on money that hasn't come. So tomorrow, church elders will have a meeting, financial planning. It's all right. How do we spend 15 million? The elders will think that they have. When they finish, the pastor, okay, so maybe you should write the checks. He said, no, the money hasn't come. What were we doing here all this while? He said, no, it's faith. Well, praise the Lord. I learned that kind of faith when I was young. I don't do it anymore. If it's really faith, don't worry. As the money comes, be spending little by little. Just prioritize your need when it comes. Take it step by step. Don't have a meeting on how to share 30 million that hasn't come. No, it's not a necessary it's not a necessary adventure. Anyway, back to what I was saying. So long-time planning, all right? You can do it if you have nothing else to do. If you are just happy with yourself, exercise yourself, you know, you do things. Like when I was in school, I told you, I drew the church I was going to pastor, and it was going to be in Jos. And the name of the church, I won't tell you the name before you start. Like I told you, one of my sisters still calls me by that name till today. 30-something years later, she hasn't forgotten. That's how much noise I made about it. And the Lord too was enjoying it. He said, Lord, why are you smiling? He said, Banky is planning. This is my rhymes, be writing it down. Is that one too also right? Say, Lord, why are you smiling? He answers, Banky is planning. So the angels too will sit down and they hear the plan. They will look at the Lord, look at his face. And they will laugh. And they will laugh. They ask, I don't know what is funny, but they will laugh. How can the Lord laugh and you won't laugh? Please, if you go for a show with your boss, if he laughs, you must laugh. Otherwise, you are telling him he's silly. They're working. If you follow me somewhere and I'm laughing, you don't laugh. If you don't laugh, it's a sign of agreement. It doesn't have to be funny. His boss is laughing. That's the issue. Who says it's funny? What matters is that the boss is laughing. You go for a comedy show or to enjoy, and you're sitting beside your boss and he's laughing and you're just sitting straight. You are telling him he's silly. Wait for your next promotion. And that's by the way. What I was saying is that the Lord used to laugh and the angels had to laugh even though they did not know. Why they couldn't laugh sincerely was that they didn't know the real plan. The Lord knew the real plan. So as Banky is planning, he's laughing. And they ask him, Lord, why are you laughing? And he answers, because Banky is planning. Why? Because his plan, that is the Lord's plan, is so far different from Banky's plan and is much better. It's much higher. Do you understand? It's much better. It's much higher. It fits his purpose perfectly. And you can only plan according to what you have seen. Do you know that? You can only plan according to what you have seen. And what God the Lord wants to do, maybe you have never seen it. So back to what I was saying. When you are doing long-term plans, just enjoy it. It's just an exercise in just keeping yourself busy. You're just keeping busy. Don't even imagine it will come to pass. And if you are one of the 200,000 that their random plans happens to be a revelation, you did not know. It's not because you planned it. Just exactly. I don't want to use the word lucky because it's not a matter of luck. It's more of, I don't want to say coincidence. Maybe the Lord just helped you to see it, which is very unlikely. Usually it doesn't do that. Okay? It doesn't do that. But maybe you're one of the few that he does it for. Don't come and write books to deceive us. That's what I'm saying. Now making us look confused because we don't have. We are 30. We don't have the book of future plans. Because you wrote your own at 25. And everything has happened the way you planned it. Now go and write a book of the power of long-term planning. Long-term planning doesn't have power. And I like what Michael Tyson, all right, he has a quote. He said, everybody has a plan until he gets punched in the face. That's why he said, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face. So life has not yet punched you. Life will punch you. And it's God that sent it to. Life is walking past. Have you considered my servant Daniel? He said, I've seen you have blessed her with a blessing with Israel. I said, okay, good, but can you punch him in the face for me? He said, Lord, with all pleasure. With all pleasure. Then you make a plan, everything goes wrong. James said, count it all. Be happy. If your plans scatter, be happy. If the way by which you thought things will work out didn't work out, don't be angry. Be happy. Don't be angry. Be happy. Everybody has a plan, Michael Tyson said. Mike Tyson. Until he gets punched in the face. And you know it's in the Bible anyway. It's in the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. It says a woman whose heart is net and hand are chains. He said, the one that is pleasing to God will escape from her, but a sinner will be enticed. Now, we thought about it then. He wasn't talking about a female adult. He was talking about life. We're talking about life. That life has traps. When you talk about chains and nets, net will catch you. A chain will bind you. Say life has traps. The other day, you know, I catch my news daily on the internet. So I see a lot of headlines. I don't read 90% of the headlines there. I'm not saying sport is bad though. But I don't read sports section. I don't read entertainment. I don't read political analysis. I don't. As a rule, if you're analyzing politics, I will not read. You know why? It's your opinion. And there's nowhere I know that people's personal opinion is so, that is, people's emotions fills their opinion as much as politics. So I don't bother. If you're an APC member, I know what you will write. If I've heard you before, I know what you will write. So I don't bother, okay? But occasionally I see all the headlines. So I saw one, I think it was sports or entertainment. No, entertainment. I won a celebrity. I don't know the name. Not many of you bet. When you are doing sports betting, how many of you are confused that Smokey go and you bet? Don't put up your hand. I'm just letting you know what you are. You are confused. You are high on something that's confusing you. All right? He's one of those guys. All right? He decided to bet and tweeted the bet. Now, I know. That many of those persons, all right, they are paid by the betting companies. You don't know. But he said that he had just placed a bet with, I think, a few millions of naira. And today, he's going to celebrate when he cashes out this amount of money when this particular team will have beaten the other one. I realize that it's not even worth talking about. He must have been paid to do that. In case you don't know, those celebrities, that's what they do. So all the young people following him will go and place their bet like he did. And the betting company will make a lot of money. It doesn't matter whichever way you bet, they are going to make their money. Anyway, but the point I'm making is that the team he said will win. You know what happened to them? They beat them badly. Not only were they beaten, they were well beaten. They couldn't get up after the match. It was football, but I didn't watch it anyway. Just joking about that. But they beat them very well. So it was now over social media, how much money he lost. It was now in the news. That's why I saw it in the news. This guy lost them. People are now commenting on it. And some are laughing at him. Some are, you know, all kinds of comments. But that's life for you. Once I read the story of one European, very rich man. I mean, when I say rich, one of the richest men in Europe that time. One of the richest men in Europe. You know, the richest people are generally in the United States. Then you go to India. You understand? Europe has a few, not so many. All right? But in Europe, he would have been somewhere around the top 5 richest men in Europe. Was worth a few billions of dollars. And you know what happened to him? At the end of the day, let me go to the end first before I tell you the process. This planning, very careful. When Solomon said, life has traps. At the end of the day, he wrote a long note for his wife, his children, apologized to them, and in the town he lived in, the train passes through. So he went to the rail track, waited for the train, jumped in front of it, and the train took him. Oh, yes. Shortly before then, he was one of the, I think one of the top four richest men in Europe. Why did he commit suicide? Let me tell you, the traps of life. Just the traps of life. What happened to him was that he made his money through a lot of leverage and then in construction, insurance, and banking. So something went wrong. I don't forget the details. I think there was the housing crisis in the world. It hit construction of new businesses. So his interest in cement, the cement industry went down. So the whole cement thing went down. Because they're not building new houses. So cement wasn't selling. So, and he was owing a lot of money. He borrowed a lot of money to acquire those companies. So one thing after another, his net worth dropped. Now, he didn't become poor. Do you understand? At that time, he was still worth over between 350 and $400 million that he could call his own. Now, is that a lot of money? In any currency? In any part of the world? In any part of the world, that was a lot of money. But he wasn't satisfied with it. I mean, like, come on, I was the richest man, or one of the richest men in Europe. How do you drop into this lowly $400 million thereabout? So he decided, now this is where I'm going, to make his money back. I'm going to make my money back. So you know what he did? It's what they call shorting of stocks. That's not my job. I'm a preacher. But if you know, he decided to short VW stocks. That's Volkswagen, all right? Now, there's a long story about what went wrong. He calculated it. He knew the value of VW should come down. And that knowledge was going to make him some hundreds of millions of dollars. So he put all his money in it. Borrowed money. I'm going to make my money back. Now, there's only one problem. Life has what? Everybody has a plan until it's punched in the face. What he didn't know, all right? Now, of course, what happens? Now, for those of you who like to trade, I hope you don't go for all these seminars how to trade stocks. I hope you don't. You know, I keep on telling you there are things you shouldn't do. You are not adding value to anybody. Go and find work or business or profession in which you are really adding value. I think the man is considered the greatest stock trader of all time. I've forgotten his name now. One man, another person, American. He always made money the way he liked from the stock market before the rules changed now. Do you know? I think his son committed suicide. His whole life was a mess. And I think he even died broke. So don't just get up and go and be following people to learn how to trade stocks on the internet. It is not a business. It's a sign of covetousness. You just want to sit in your house and be gambling. It's different from being a stockbroker. A stockbroker is helping people buy and sell. But somebody just sits at home. You know, every time you sit down, somebody is telling you how to trade Forex on the internet. How to trade crypto on the internet. How to trade stock on the internet. They keep on advertising, and I keep telling you, the only person that make money from those nonsense is the person teaching. And one guy I know, he did it. You know what he did? He went to one of those seminars in Lagos. So they gave him a CD and they gave him some lectures. So he came back to Enugu. He said, let me collect my money back. He went, duplicated the CDs, printed his own stuff on it. Yeah. Then he advertised the same advert in Lagos. And people gathered, and he repeated the same things they told him, and he shared out the CDs, and that's how he got his money back. He just came to Enugu, repeated exactly what he told him, something he didn't know or understand, duplicated the CDs, gave it to everybody, and made a profit. So when I tell you that it's those who teach you that make money, you see them, they gather here all the time. You know, yeah, and they enter the end of this plaza. And this is what people now do. They now add spirituality to it. They will clap. They will sing. Then they will play one of our popular preachers before they start their telemarketing. They start calling people. Have you heard about this? Have you heard about that? I said, the only people making money are the people teaching them. So this man I was telling you about, he decided that he knew how to do it. Now, I was saying something to you earlier. The stock market, for those who don't know, is a major gambling site. Gambling site. People go there mostly to gamble. It's all over the world. In fact, the current American president, Donald Trump, long ago, not now, I read one of his books. What I'm telling you is very, very long ago. One of the arguments he had, you know, he owned the casinos, you know that. So they were, you know, some people were now criticizing him that he owns casinos, which is not a very morally sound business as far as they are concerned. Somebody asked him about it. He said, look, that what do they do in the stock market? If they want him to close his gambling joint, they should also close the stock market. That all they do is go there to gamble. Unfortunately, he was telling the truth. They use real companies, all right, to gamble. They gamble based upon the existence of real companies. That's not what it's supposed to be. I'm not saying that's what it's supposed to be. And of course, a man like Warren Buffett doesn't do gambling. And he laughs at the rest of them who gamble. He doesn't. All right? His own business model is very different. I don't want to sit on it. But this man decided to do the gambling thing. Now, what they gamble is like you speculate. It's like betting. You speculate that this company, which will be worth more, they have a lot of ways they calculate. But the most important thing about the value is not the reality. It's about the perception. Did you hear what I said? Let me give you an example. One day, a man started a car company. And the market value, what they call market cap, was more than that of Ford Motor Company. And he had not made one car. One. One car had not been made. And he had a market cap bigger than that of Ford. And one car had not been made. He claimed that it's an electric truck company. Now, because a lot of people had made money on Tesla stock, all of them ran into his own company, which he called Nikola. Now, if you know, the full name of the man Tesla is Nikola, or was Nikola Tesla. So he leveraged on that and became a multimillionaire. And the company was valued at more than Ford. And I told one of our brothers, I said, what kind of nonsense is this? This is why Warren Buffett laughs at you people. I said, this is nonsense. Where's the man now? He's in jail. Oh, yes, he's in jail. He's in prison because it was all fraud. And this Nigerian guy right now, I won't mention he's in there looking for. Because he became a billionaire. Wanted to buy a European sporting football club. This guy raised billions in New York Stock Exchange on a company that does not exist. All of this, I'm trying to explain, life has traps, right? So this particular man, back to him, he sat down, decided that VW stocks will fall in value. Like I was saying to his perception, that's one. And then second, demand and supply. So perception leads to demand and supply issues, and that directly affects the price. So VW stocks should fall in price by his calculations, and he was right, 100% correct. But life has what? Traps. What he did not know was that most of VW stock, a huge chunk of VW stock, was held by like a local government. Now, those people don't trade. So whether the price goes up or down, they hardly trade. So the price was supposed to go down, but there was no demand there was no supply. Those who held it, they're not selling. That's one. Number two, another car company, I think it's Porsche or another German company, had been trying to take a huge stake in VW. So they were buying not because of the returns, but because they wanted to own the company. So as they were mopping up, the price was doing what? It was going up. Okay, you know, it's supposed to go down because of performance. But the price was going up for two reasons. One, a governmental body that owned a major stake wouldn't sell. Number two, another company was mopping up and they were eager to buy whatever was available. This guy suddenly was competing with those two people. To his shock, when VW price was supposed to be dropping, it was climbing. And he was owing so much money because he expected the price to crash. So he had borrowed a lot. It's called shorting. He held short positions on it. Then when the thing became due, he was supposed to pay back. It was now the price was now higher, much higher than when he bought. Suddenly, all his money was, it was now owing maybe like 600 or 700 million on VW stock alone. They took his house, took all the shares he had in other companies, all the money he had in any bank, everything was collected. The man looked at it, wrote a note, walked to the front of the train, and allowed the train to kill him. A man who was just shortly before that, one of the richest men in Europe. Life has what?
Trust.
That's what I said to you. See, this long-term planning, forget it. Even Steve Jobs said it. He said, look, guys, no one can plan these things. He said, you can only think. Now, I'm putting words, trying to explain what he said. What he literally said, you can only connect the dots looking backwards. Now, what he was saying is that you can only appear to know what you did after it had been done. So that's what I'm saying to Christians. Don't worry about long-term plans. They always, or let me use the word, they almost always fail. Not because you are bad, but because this is life. This is life. I saw a small skit. Some children were walking on the road. When you grow up, what are you going to be? I am going to be a lawyer. You, what are you going to be? I am going to be an engineer. You, what are you going to be? That's one of their friends. What will you be when you grow up? The guy said, I'm still small. I don't know. And I don't have time for such games. He said, look, let's ask this uncle. One man was passing. Stop the man. When you were small, did you want to be something? The man said, I wanted to be many things. So he said, but the one I remember well is pilot. The boy said, so what are you now? The man scratched his head. He said, oh boy, not only am I not a pilot, to even see which barrel to push is a problem. The small boy said, thank you, sir. Turn to the friends. I told you people I don't have time for this game. And that's just the way life is. It was a joke. But that's the way life is. See, this uncle, he too wanted to be something. But now, he's not what he thought he would be. Now, what should those children now do, therefore? Let them learn righteousness and justice, and God will place them. Doesn't mean you can't have desires. Doesn't mean you can't have desires. But relax. God will place you as you go on. That's what we mean. Long-term plans don't work. What should the children do? They were small. I mean, the way the video was, they were in primary school. They should go to class, learn civic education, learn social studies, of course, math, English, whatever it is, you know, general science or integrated science, computer studies, the number of things they learn in primary school. And when they finish, they should have only one goal, to do very well in their primary school exams. When they finish that, they should have desires of which secondary school I'd like to go to. But at such times, look, just go to a good one, anyone around. Again, small aside, look. They are bad schools. Is that okay? But most good schools are just schools. It's whether you want to learn or you don't want to learn. So when you are arranging for your children to go to school, ask yourself, what exactly am I looking for? When someone says, go and sell your grandfather's house, nobody will turn your child to a genius. Nobody. 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 Do you follow what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say to Christians is that stop looking for to go to send your child to a school you can't afford. That's what I'm trying to say. Look, do you know what? You know, they say Harvard is a good school, right? That's university level now. Is that okay? They will make mentions on schools. Even in Nigeria. All right? Now, what I want to bring out to you is this. Most of those schools, they are good for only one reason. They can't argue with me. They select the best students. That's what they do. They select the best students from all over the world. They cream the top. People who don't need them to be what they're going to become. When you see their screen exams, Harbor. When they say, I said, no. What happens here is that you carry the people who are the best. You carry them to the school, and they do very well. Not because of the school, but because of them. Then the school now gets the reputation for producing the best students. So, relax. That's the point I'm making there. Relax. Don't disturb yourself. Okay? Don't. So, what should children do? Read. Remember, that's where we started from. Just find a good school, good around, that you can afford. Let them go there. Then let them continue studying. Start teaching them things like, don't cheat. Don't. Work hard. I was telling my wife the other day, I said, look, that's one thing you can brag, that there's no child that passes through you that will not learn those two things. They can run away if they wish to. But that you will not cheat. Ah, she will drill it into your head with a screwdriver. And working hard is your portion. You just learn those two things. That's all. Be honest and make sure that you work hard. You learn to pray, walk in righteousness. It's scripture, righteousness and what? Justice. And then God will take any of the children to amazing places. To amazing places. He will open doors for them. He will set them up. He will take them to amazing places. I keep on saying, how you know the God you worship is the effort you put into something. Do you get what I'm saying? Let us assume now you want to send your child to university. And it's so hard for you to pay the fees. So you start doing everything, things that you have never done to preach the gospel. Things you have never done to help anybody. Because my child must go to this school. You worship that school. Another day will have come and I will have said, you don't worship the school. But when you put it, you know, there's a kind of effort you put into something. That even God will say, Abba, it's not like this now. You pray, it's part of it. You look for money, it's part of it. You sell things, it's part. See, a lot of people, I know when I get it, I'm like, my bank doesn't. Yes, you are right. I don't like the foolishness. That's why you have to really complete. That's how you should complete that thing. I don't like foolishness. See, I saw one of my colleagues the other day. I said, over a long time, we're greeted. I said, are you still having dollar problems? That was the question I asked him. I said, are your dollar problems over now? I said, my brother, I wish. When dollar moved from 400, is it 3-something to 400 something and something? He was having problems. Now it's 1,006. So I said, are your dollar problems over now? He said, my brother, I wish. Because I was I talked about it before. One guy that I was angry with, he was angry with the government that the dollar, he can't find dollar, he can't find dollar. And I said, come, me and you, you know, we are colleagues. Why are you needing dollar? I don't need dollar. He said he has 2 children in school in America. I said, eh? You are a university professor in Nigeria. The school where you teach is not good enough for your children. I said, what? You see, I know people, all right? In fact, some of them are very close to me. They want to go to school in America. They walk in, tell their father, Daddy, please, I think I want to go to school. So the father says, okay. Yeah, I've obtained the form, they're giving me admission. So the father says, all right, how much? And the school fee is supposed to be $11,000. So tells the father, it's $15,000. So the man says, all right, tomorrow now. Tomorrow he comes, the man counts the cash and gives it to him. Another man, I know, it's not your children, first degree, they do it in Nigeria. After that, if you come and say, please, I want to fly to the moon, he'll tell you how much. He'll tell you it's $100,000. He'll transfer the $100,000 to you. Again, it's somebody I know. There's one Nigerian you know now, you know. One day just felt good. He walked to a car shop, bought 3 cars for 3 of his girls. Each one of them a Ferrari. And the girls posed beside it and snapped the picture. Those ones are not worshipping those schools. They're not the ones I'm talking about. They can easily afford it. It's you that's my problem. You that's telling me, I wish. When I ask you, do you still have dollar problems? And you say, I wish. Are your dollar problems over? You say, I wish. What does that mean? You were not able to afford this thing. You are giving yourself needless stress. It's a sign you worship something. That dedication is a sign of worship. And those who are not dedicated to Christ, who will not stress themselves for Him, they don't really worship Him. They don't really worship Him. What am I trying to say? So remember those children we're talking about? What are they supposed to do? I've given it to you. First, finish that primary school very well. Work hard in secondary school. Learn the real things about life. And watch God open doors. If you pray about a door, God will open it, walk away to another one. If He closes this door, there's another one He has opened. Walk away to another door. If something is too stressful, stop stressing yourself over it. Where did I begin that from? You know, as you grow in life, let's wind back to the way we were. You start realizing this life, if you grow long enough, you discover the word of God. You discover that there are vanities. You know, Solomon didn't get a revelation to write that. He observed to write it. And you too, you live long enough, you will find it. You will find out that this life is full of what? I meant the vanity part. It's full of vanities. Full of vanities. I say you also discover that you can't plan your life. You can't. Back to where that we began from. Went all that way. You now find that you can't plan your life. You can't. There's nothing you can do to be long-term plan. No, you can't. What you do is remain faithful. God has broken life into days. God has broken life into what? Days. Be faithful in each day. Each day. That is, each day has its assignment. You don't know what the next day is. Take that day you are in and do the work of that day to the fullest. Put in your effort, your energy. Make your, he said, do business with this until I come. Put in the energy to turn your 1 mina to 10. I'll give you an example. The time for being in school, secondary school, read. Do what you're supposed to do. Learn everything you're supposed to learn. That's what you're supposed to do. Learn everything you're supposed to learn. If you're at home, do household chores. Go to church. Join the youth group. That's the assignment for the day. If you see any small boy learning how to trade crypto, flog him. That's the beginning of stealing. You become a thief. His friends will soon introduce him to how to do fraud. And stop admiring things. Tell him, no need to admire the things that matter. What are you doing admiring a C-class? In secondary school, why should you admire C-class? Admire engineering inside it is okay. Do you follow my point? To own one. This man, the moment he finished school, he got an E-class. His father bought it. Your father can't afford it. Why are we here struggling? Don't even want it. You know, there are things they will give you. Do you say, I don't even want. Say, why should I start looking for money to buy fuel? Let me just jump from one bus to the other, one keke to the other, occasionally take a taxi. Each day, just fulfill it. And I keep on telling young pastors, this one that is Bishop Oyedepo, people are looking at all the time. Amen. He just bought the third jet. It's why you won't fulfill your ministry. Archbishop Benson Daosa never had one. But from what I heard, he was dashed one, at least twice. He said no, he doesn't need it. There's no way he's going. He doesn't go around that often. A lot of young pastors are packed away from, God put them in the back, they've packed to Lagos. Because that's where you find people that will support you. The truth is that, only you are a thief. You are looking for who will buy you a jet. That's it. No, you know when you hear some churches spend money here? If you think of money, look, you will miss your ministry. One brother, I heard, it's somebody I know. All right? I've been to his church to preach. Rented a piece of property, put tent there, they're doing the... One big man walked in. Another pastor. A bigger pastor. He wanted that property that he rented a small piece of. Nothing, it was not against him. He was just looking for where to buy. And they saw open land. And they told him how much. You know, they asked the owner how much. The owner said he doesn't want to sell. So he offered the owner 1 billion naira. The owner said that even if I die, it's not one small plot, they bury me inside this. There's no need. Collected it. Sold it. Now my friend had to relocate. But he's a nice guy. I told the guy, look, what do you need to relocate? Say, go look for another property. Let me know the cost. I'll see what I can do. These are the things some people will hear. They will change it. They will say, how is this man running his ministry? They will go and learn the pattern. Oh God. If I say everybody come for a school of ministry, they'll say, why? No, they want to know, what do you want to teach us? What we want in school of ministry is how to expand. So when you sit here, how to make your number, your attendance go from 50 to 10. Look at this one. I'll go for a school of ministry to go to five. Nonsense. She's not a ministry. She should go away. When we are talking, she shouldn't talk. Do you understand? How they will. That's what people come to hear. They want to know, how did you do it? Do you get what I'm saying? They are not coming to learn the truth. It's unfortunate. Sote, T.B. Job. That was a guy. He organized school of ministry. People will go. A false prophet will organize school of ministry and people will go. Why? They're not looking at his words or his spirit. They're looking at the crowd and the money. Oh, the Lord is good. Anyway, I'm driving somewhere. So, you live long enough, you discover the word of God. I said, one of the things you discover is that, look, it's not your plans that will work out. Just make up your mind, which direction am I facing? That's what life is about. Which direction am I facing? So last time we said something. Let me continue to develop that. Now remember, no, before I go back to that, let me just remind us. Everybody must serve. What did I say?
Everybody must serve.
We're all created to solve a problem. We're all created to express a part of God. We're all created to go out into the world, you understand, and make an impact. That everybody. We're not sent to enjoy. We're not sent. No, I'm not saying enjoyment is bad. It's not primary. It's not even secondary. Maybe it's tertiary. Do you get my point? Function is number one. Serving God is number one. And I'll say it again. If you are not conscious, it's something you do consciously. If you are not consciously serving, your life is going to be prodigal. Your life is going to be prodigal. That's what I've been explaining. If we don't consciously serve, our lives will be prodigal. You will be wasteful. You will make bad investments. You will make bad decisions. You will marry wrongly. You will spend wrongly. If the idea that God gave me life for a purpose, His purpose, is not in front of you, you don't have to know it. No, I've been saying that. That is not the first thing, that is specifically knowing it. The first thing is just know that there is something. You may not know what it is. Just know that everything you do, God has a will. You can want to change your jobs. A better one has come. Or the other one, they are annoying you. Just know that God has He's decided whether you should or should not. Just by kneeling down to pray. Nothing wrong with expressing your desires. Nothing wrong with asking Him for something. But just know that. Please, I still heard it recently. Some people say that God never says no. He does. That's why Jesus said, nevertheless. That's why He said, nevertheless. You understand what I'm saying? That is, God has a will. And what I've asked may not be His will. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Which means that I want to leave this job. And I want to pray. I go and pray about it. I can leave that place knowing that the Lord said, no, don't take it. Don't. Sometimes, you know, I've discussed here about what people call inward witness. It's only you that can explain how you just are convinced you're not supposed to take that. If you want to know what is right, you have to purify your heart all the time so that you can personally just make a decision. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
They cannot fire you a job, your money will be tripled by it. You are rejoicing, hey, see money. The first 6 months, at least, I'll be able to move away from this house. And the next 6 months, let me be able to downpay for this, for the car. You are planning. You're supposed to see them tomorrow. This night, you now remember, God has a specific will about this matter. So you go and kneel down. Lord, I'm supposed to see these guys tomorrow. We'll finalize. Then I'll give you where I'm working right now. 1 month's notice, 2 months' notice. Then I'll join the other people. I forgot that I didn't ask you about it. Dear Lord, first, before you talk, that's where I do it. Lord, wait, let's start with like this. I like it. And why do I like it? The money is better. Now, there are other things we Christians consider. How am I going to bless people? Lord, it's the same thing. Here, I was blessing people like this. There, I'll bless them the same way. In fact, there, I'll even bless more people. So the money is better. The blessing is better. There's more opportunity for service. There are things that we have learned beforehand that they are important to us as believers. So you've already crossed those T's and dotted those I's. You've checked. Are you really going to be working? Are you going to be sitting down doing nothing and earning money? It's not like that. Everything is right as far as your general knowledge goes. And I say, however, Lord, what do you have to say? Sometimes everything's quiet. You don't have any discomfort. Everything's all right. You wake up next day, it still looks good. You go, you sign for the job, and you take it. And it's the will of God. We thank God. 2 months later, you have switched. We thank God for that. Other times, you get up from that place, a bit unsettled. I don't know. Let me think about it for one more week. At the end of 1 week, someone now tells you something like, ah, isn't that office? You want to take a job there? Those people, they tell you one or two things that are frightening. You say, no, I wouldn't want to work in that kind of place. You know God has answered you. Other times, you just dream. I've had such experiences. Now, let me just create a dream to explain this. That you're walking on a road and another door opens and you pass through it and fell off a cliff and hit the bottom of the rocks. It's a dream. Then you wake up. You know, there are dreams you don't need Joseph. You don't need to wake Daniel up. You're going on the road. That's the job you are doing right now. A door opens on the side. That's the new one. You walk through it and fell off a cliff. If you walk through that door, God will make you fall. That is, you are so stubborn. Even you will wake up and say, sweetheart, yes, your wife you are talking to. And the Lord has answered me. Say, hey, what did he say? He said, no, I shouldn't leave this place. Do you get my point? Different ways by which he will explain it to you. There are doors that will open, everything is okay. People will wonder, why did you refuse to walk through? And you are smiling. Depending on who you are dealing with, there are people you will tell. They think you have gone mad. So such people, you don't tell them. Just say something as simple as, I like where I am right now. I think it's better. It's not everything that looks so good that's really better than where you are. I think I just feel better staying here for now. Do you get it? God has answered. The point I'm making is that he has a specific word, whether you should or you shouldn't. So just knowing it, that's what they call faith. That's what takes you to the place of prayer. You pray about it, and when you're done, you will know whether it is will or it is not. I've told this story so many times. When I came to Enugu, they didn't make any sense, naturally speaking. People told me, money's in Lagos. I wasn't looking for money. For me, what I was looking for is the place of God's appointment to start ministering the instruction of the word. That's just what I was looking for. Doors opened in different places. Ibadan, doors opened there. Like Paul said, the Spirit said no. Why door opened there? I was told, your office is ready. The man even explained to me. The reason why I said is that this is the person I give the office to. But he has left. He's now in Europe. So I've kept the office. I'm looking for who to give it to next, if you're interested. That he said, all you need to do is say yes. I'll do the rest of it. So I said, sir, let me think about it. Two things helped me make a decision, all right? One of them was that he made one statement, and I realized I will have problems with this man if I take that office. One was that he mentioned one very prominent preacher in Nigeria, all right? And said they were classmates in school. They were in the same fellowship. He now made a statement as if the man had missed, lost his direction. Ah, you tell me that a man who left this profession to go and be a minister of the gospel has, do you get my point? So when you see me try to do the same thing, we are going to have conflicts. So I didn't even need to pay Father Kapaja Kupan papa. I didn't need to. It was so clear. There was another reason. I just married that time. That was not very important because I know the way my wife is. I know the way God deals with us. I felt she wouldn't like the place. Even though that would not have been an issue. She would easily, if she feels it's the will of God, she'll adapt to it. But this was one. Then, you know, I went last week to I went to see the Anglican bishop in Enugu here, something about 2 weeks ago. So those of us that went together, I was not telling them that, oh, this is the man that invited me to Enugu. Like, I told them the whole story. He now told his own story. He said, Mark, you didn't tell this other part too. Yeah, because how the relationship built, you understand? We had a small relationship. He was just telling them that, this man was very kind to me. He used to help me out when I come to Lagos. He said, you didn't tell us that part. I said, that was not important. The important thing was that the man came and invited me to come to town. And that was 25 years ago. All right? Yeah. He invited me. So Where I'm going is that why I followed him, I was looking for the divine placement. I knew he had, that God had. So when this door started opening one after that, I had to pray about it. And then I've told the story many times how miraculously God used a brother to prophesy. And he did not know he was prophesying. It was so striking that I looked around as if, is somebody telling this guy something about my life? Somebody I had not seen in years began to market Enugu to me. Can you believe that? We didn't talk about it. We're just greeting each other. How are you? How have you been? How's everything? And then the gist dried up. And I said, wow, Enugu is such a nice place. You know, that's what happened. I had to turn it was a clear spiritual manifestation. He did not know Enugu was on my mind. Nobody went to tell him, go and persuade him. Oh, second part of it. I've not seen him since that day. So knowing that there's a divine placement, I was just looking out for his signs, his instructions, his leading. I didn't come to Enugu, I keep on saying that, because I love the place. No. You ask me 10,000 times, I'll tell you. The only reason I came, the only reason is because I felt this way the Lord wanted me to be. So as soon as we came to town, immediately I started the ministry matter. I started by writing tracts. I used to go to bookshops to place tracts by myself. Anywhere I see a Christian bookshop, I give them a bundle of tracts. Please dash it to whoever comes to buy any book from you. It's free. That's what I used, because that was the reason. I felt this is why you've come to this place. It's not for any other reason. The point I'm emphasizing to us again is that just knowing that there is a thing like that. You want to get married? You just know. Look, you woman, a man comes to say, marry me. You can check whether you like him or you don't like him. I'm not saying you shouldn't check that. But the most important question is, Lord, is this the husband you ordained? Let whether I like him or not like him, let him be manifestation of his appointment. Let me talk about faith for a moment. Faith is not your ability to just strong your face. You like that English? You just say, I no go agree. It's not the ability to just be stubbornly convinced about, I want this. That's not what faith is. Faith is recognition. Recognition of facts. Do you get what I'm saying? For example now, I go to pray. I'm sick, all right? I go to pray. What is prayer of faith there? Is that I know that God can heal. I know that sickness is not a game of chance. What is faith? Faith is that I am aware. Now, listen to this. It's not about whether I want to get well or not. That's not the issue. First, you know, somebody came to Jesus and said, help me. If you can do anything, help. Jesus, if you read my own version of the scripture, Jesus said, if I can, it's if you can believe. The Lord there is if you can believe. What does that mean? Was the man just testing, okay, they say you heal people. Okay, try this one. Do you get my point? That's not faith. Faith is not whether, look, there are stages to it. The first stage of faith is that, look, this Jesus has the power. Do you understand my point? The first stage of faith is knowing that with him, nothing is impossible. Look, let's say you are looking for work, as an example. You go and kneel down to pray. Because you know, now, see, it's not whether, hey, I claim this work. That's not what faith is. Sometimes Pentecostals take authority they don't have. That's not what I'm talking about. All right? I claim. Just knowing that there is no job on this earth God does not control. That's what faith is. That you just know that, see, if the only job available for me is in Greenland, that is that God, if the job that God wants me to do is in Greenland, he will take me to Greenland. If he wants the company to relocate to Eastern Nigeria so I can work there. He will. Just knowing, look, that I used to say those days. He said, you know, this country, you know, your children, my children were small. I said, listen. If God has to start a school so that my children can go there, he will. You didn't get my point? I'm so conscious of the fact that we are not dealing with chance here. We're not dealing with chance. If God has to change the president, there was something Tori Ren was he said when he was praying this morning, the opening prayer. He said, God thought about you. So he told the president to write a law. Did you get what I said? You heard it? Yeah, that's not a joke. I keep on giving the testimony of Tunde Bakare. He lost his job and he wanted to get married shortly after. He was planning for marriage. That's when he lost the job he used to have. He went to church. And this pastor, Iya Adeboye, that you know, prayed for him. Pastor Iya Adeboye, let me tell you the story the way it happened. I heard it from him. He was preaching. He said he went to church. Pastor Iya Adeboye was asking people to give money towards some things. So he went to Pastor Iya Adeboye. He was like, Oga, this one is asking for money again and again, that he really doesn't personally like it, you know. That pray that God will bless me and you won't have to do that. Did you catch that?
Yes.
So the man prayed that God would bless him. Then he went to work and they sacked him. Do you follow that?
Yes, sir.
Then he went back and said, sir, you didn't calibrate that. You know, the dial, you didn't aim it properly. When you were calibrating the direction of that shot, the man said, what happened? I said, she prayed that God will bless me. What I experienced was sack. He said, Pastor, this Pastor Yadebo, you know today. This was many years ago. The man burst into laughter. He said, then, I'm quoting what he said when I heard him preach. He said that he felt like shooting him. He said, he was so offended. I just told you ruined my life and you are laughing. So look at Pastor, what is funny? I just told you, do you get my point? That I got fired. You prayed. Your prayer did not aim correctly. It missed. Didn't some of you be blessed? Look at my trouble. Now, this is why I told the story about God moving kings. So the man answered to him that the kind of money you asked me to pray for, they don't pay it as salaries. So what should I do? The man said, go and start your own business. He's a lawyer. So go and open your own chambers and start your own business. He said, God, this is where you don't understand. The law in Nigeria does not allow people of my years of qualification or experience to stand on their own. I must be under a senior lawyer. And the man said, well, he has nothing else to say. The Bakari said, he was at home. Like, God, what is this? I'm supposed to be marrying soon. Then he put on the TV. And he heard network news by decree so and so, that law that says that a professional of less than this year's experience cannot stand on his own has been abrogated. A new law was written allowing him to stand his own firm. Now, this part of the story, let me state it. I think I'm correct. He said the first brief he got as a lawyer, they paid him his 2 years' salary. Once. The job he was complaining about where they sacked him, it would have taken them 2 years to pay him what he earned one time. When they got involved in a case, it's an interesting matter, way he got involved in that particular case with a European. An immigration thing, you know, stuff like that. So he intervened. Say, I'm this man's lawyer. He wasn't. What I mean is that he just took the case there on the spot. Became the man's lawyer. Make a long story short. He said, in case you do not know, I brought Skoda to Nigeria. from that case. What I'm talking about is that, do you know they rewrote a law because of him? There are things I can't share personally. Those of you who are close to me enough, you know. I said, this man was removed because I prayed. I didn't pray God remove him. I just said, Lord, help me out here. Help me with this matter. And the Lord said, all right, the person who is in charge will not favor you. Let me remove him and bring somebody in that will favor you. I just looked at the woman one day and said, ah, how far without my matter now? He said, ah, you've not heard? I said, I've not heard. He said, that man has in charge. They've removed him. The president has appointed a new one. I said, what did you say? And then as soon as he said it, my man said, no, this person, I called one of my guys. I said, do you know this man? Ah, that one, he just burst into laughter. He said, that man, ah, he's our guy now. He's our guy. He's our guy. He said, do you need anything? I said, yes, this is my matter is before him. He said, eh, okay, he called somebody, please, give me this man's number. Call him and say, please, sir, this thing needs to be treated. And that was it. This happened just last 6 weeks. So, I'm talking about what faith is. Faith is knowing that. Faith is knowing it. Knowing that, no. Look, if they say, the thing is in the hand of the president, say, well, this president, they better do it or go with replacing. I'm being aware that he is that concerned about my matter. That's what faith is. That is what faith is. Knowing that this God, he's that concerned about my matter. Look, please, let's faith all this one event, go and show. I told you, leave those things. Real faith is knowing. Real faith is knowledge. Read my book, Walk by Faith. I explained it. That woman said something led to it. She heard about Jesus. She had considered the testimonies. And she came to a conclusion. You know, there are things you know. See, there's so much about God. The problem is what we don't know. Yeah. No, see, let me tell you something there. You know, I keep on saying it. Go to church. Read your Bible. Listen to preaching. Because if you don't know about God, you know Abraham, eh? He didn't know so many of the things we know. 17 keys to eternal prosperity. No. But Abraham, he knew some things. Like Melchizedek blessed him. And said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. Listen to this. Possessor of heaven and earth. That is, the person blessing you owns everything. Abraham recognized that. Abraham recognized it. See, what you should pray for all the time is for your eyes to open. Look at what happened in the scriptures. A man was sick. He was working for the Roman centurion. So they sent to Jesus, please, this guy is sick. Could you help? Jesus said, okay. He said, this man is very nice to us. His servant that he loves so much is sick. Jesus said, let me go. So he agreed to go. I'll come and heal him. He now met the man on the way. The man now said something. Somebody said, recognition. The man said, you don't have to come to my house. I'm not worthy for you to come. He said, I recognize the authority you have. He said, speak from where you are. Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. He said, I'm a man under authority, and I have soldiers under me. So I'm under authority. I'm above, do you get what I'm saying? Authority. He said, now let me add words. When I get a signal from Rome, they don't have to come here to tell me what to do. They just send the message. I do what they say. And so my servants, if I say to one, go, he goes. I don't have to physically push him. The man said, speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus stood, like, what? Who gave this man this insight? He said, I've not seen such faith. No, not in Israel. What did he call faith? That the man recognized his position and the power that goes with that authority.
That's all. Many people are praying for healing. They don't recognize the power of God to cure anything. You know, I told you every day, you know what they do to us? Every day, what they do to us is tell us doctors have the power. Not once, not twice, 3 times, 10 times. They keep on saying to us countless times, the power belongs to medical science. The power belongs to the economy of your nation. The power belongs to where you live. The power belongs to your connection. But the Bible says, once he has spoken. Twice. Now you have to understand the meaning of the word twice in scripture. He said that God has repeated that dream to you. It means it's very urgent. What does David say? That this one, I have convinced myself, I have listened to it, I don't let it leave my heart. That the power belongs to God. Do you know, I'm talking about knowledge. I have come to understand. Every Christian should understand. I said the other day, I was talking to my wife. I said, something is like to her. I said, you know what? We're just talking. I said, I can't die a day earlier than God says. I can't. I don't have the ability to. I can't even kill myself. If I want to kill myself, he has to approve. If I go and tie a rope and God says, you know, go die, the rope will cut. If I jump from the top of a building, God will turn the ground to water. You want to die without my permission? It's not possible. No, that's not a joke. That's literal. Now, listen to this. I said, if God says, however, that tomorrow you will die, nobody can snatch him, that snatch you out of his hand. Nobody. And he said this in scripture. He said, nobody can snatch anybody out of my hand. If I'm determined to punish somebody, if I'm determined, he said, nobody can snatch the fellow out of my hand. I keep on telling those who run up and down, you know, see, I believe in walking, jogging, for keeping fit. I believe in going to the gym. A man should have iron in his hand. Are you getting my point? That's me, all right? He doesn't keep anybody alive. Then I say, hey, you do regular checkup. I said, listen, Now, please, we can get into arguments about this, but you see my emphasis. I said, look, I had a friend working in North America. He collapsed in his own clinic and died. He didn't die at home. He's a specialist doctor. He works in North America. He was in hospital when he fell down and died. That was about 3 years ago. One of my friends died last year. He lives inside the hospital. He didn't go outside. He lived inside that hospital. That's where he lived. They finished one devotion in the house. He got up and fell down. And they rushed him straight within a few minutes to the emergency room in a big specialist hospital, and he still died. Do you follow where I'm going? It's called recognition. That's what faith is. That just recognize that any other thing you do is added onto it. I said before that Theodore Epp, on Saturday, he went somewhere to preach. And he said to a graduating class of Bible school students, that is the last public message he will give. I think it was in Canada or United States. The next day, on Monday, he went for a routine check in a hospital there. Something went wrong and he died. You don't get my point. He preached on Saturday that this is the last public message I'll give. And he quoted Paul, writing to Timothy, that I've finished my course. I've run my race. I've, most importantly, kept the faith. He said, I can say it like Paul. That what remains for me now. Now, listen to me. He was 70-something. He wasn't an old man like Hard Knight. No. He was 70-something. He said that on Saturday.
On Monday, he was gone. It's how he died that's the funny thing. He was just said, okay, let him go for a routine checkup in the hospital. Maybe they put injection wrongly. Let's do this one. The man, something just went wrong. Shani. If he was at home, he said, maybe they couldn't get medical help on time. He came to the hospital. He was feeling okay. He came for a routine check, and he died there. Just knowing, that's my own, that, see, that Jesus owns the keys to my life and death. I will not die by accident, not by a game of chance. It is only by his predetermination. He has to command. You know, I talk about that prophet that Kenneth Hagin talked about, you know, once in a while. The Lord told this prophet, he said, at the end of 65, I will remove this man that stands right now in the forefront of this move in your country. At the end of 65. This was said in 59. They wrote it down and put it in a safe. Didn't tell anybody. December 65. Suddenly a message came. Brother so-and-so has been involved in an accident. And what happened? A young boy that was drunk took a car that was not good. One of the lights wasn't working. And drove it at night. Narrowly missed one car, which was being driven by this man's son. And ran into the man head-on. The man was driving himself. And he was knocked out through his windshield. When his son, who was driving the other car, saw in the mirror, he came down. He rushed, of course. He rushed back to what happened. Make a long story short, the man asked, how's mom? How is she doing? That was, I think she's dead. And he said, put her hand in mine. He said, dear Lord, help us in our hour of distress. Don't let mommy die. And the woman revived. But he, a week later, in intensive care, he died. Why I'm telling the story is that somebody else had been given the date 6 years before that I'm going to bear with him till the end of 65. Many things were told to this prophet. Now, if I ask you now, did he die by accident? No, answer me. That's what faith is. Recognition. 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 It's the recognition that, look, and I told you earlier, there's a way you deliberately put yourself in God's hands. You just say, Lord, no, my hand, my life is not going somewhere else. It just was in your hand and not going anywhere else. See, it's faith you used to do it too. That's why I tell people, say, I'm going to hospital. I say, before you go, pray. If God says you will die, the doctor can't snatch you out of his hand. If God says you will not die, you will not die, even if you're at home. You know, Kenneth Hagin will tell the story of his life. Eh? And he'll explain to you that when he was born, he was so premature, he could fit into the palm of somebody's hand. That he couldn't, a normal feeding bottle was too big. They had to get a dropper to feed him. You know, dropper? Yes. Used to drop in somebody's eyes. Now, the point is that when they finished delivering him, because the mother was very sick, when the doctor was leaving, so the doctor delivered the baby, gave to the grandmother, expecting that the grandmother should go and bury. That is, the grandmother left to go and look for shovel to bury the newborn. No. Died. It's stillbirth. Thank you. Except that when she got there to the barn at the back, she felt the baby move. So he returned to the house to dress the baby. And when the doctor was leaving, the doctor was taking care of the mother. When the doctor was leaving, she asked the doctor, what should I feed him? See, doctor said, feed him? Feed who? Like, He said, no, when I went out to bury him, I realized that he wasn't dead. So I've given him I've cleaned him up and found some cloth to just wrap him. There was nothing that was small enough. So the doctor reached into his pocket, gave him a small baby formula. Okay, feed this one to him. He said, now listen, it will last longer than he will last. The doctor said, this will last longer than the baby. I don't know whether you ever saw a picture of Kenneth Hagin in his life. The man was a giant of a man. Tall, big. But that's how he was born. That's how he was born. The mother nursed the baby. That's the grandmother. With the dropper. Make the formula. Dropping bit by bit. And that boy grew up. Later on, God told him, my angels watched over you. So suddenly he understood what that meant. You know why? He didn't have childhood diseases. He said his brother will have chicken pox. They will lie on the same bed. He won't catch it. His brother will have measles. These are very contagious diseases. So he won't catch it. So now understood why. That God said, my angels watched over you. Because he was very sick. Until now, he finally got healed around the age of 17. So look, that's what they call faith. Faith is recognizing. Faith is recognition. That is, you say, who has the power? Don't go and donate yourself to somebody else. Just carry your life and donate to another force out there. You say, you feel like you don't like the way you grew up. Okay. There was never enough money. Okay. So what's your solution? I will marry a rich man. You don't understand. You have given your life, wrapped it, and gift-wrapped it, gave it to a human being to manage. What you have said, prosperity comes from man. You're not going out. Please, if you are like that, I pray for you. May you not find a rich man because you will have found the devil. Yeah, because once you see, it's called an idol. Once you snatch yourself from God, you have given yourself to an idol. What should such a person do? It is the Lord that gives the power to get wealth. That's it. Just go and kneel down and pray. See, let me say something. I said last time, God doesn't go to some of our churches. God doesn't tithe to man. God is not there. He said, I don't use makeup. You are the one that doesn't use makeup. God doesn't care who uses, who doesn't. Do you follow my point? Look, he really doesn't care. The woman that uses makeup is his daughter. The one that doesn't use is his daughter. But when they come to pray, as far as it's concerned, two of them look the same. You are the one that doesn't believe that God will not listen to anybody with eyelashes. You know, it's your problem. He doesn't know. You don't get my point. He doesn't, when you come, he doesn't see your eyelashes. He sees your heart. There are people who don't have eyelashes, but their heart has lashes. They have heart lashes, I'm telling you. There are those that carry, you know, only by eyelashes now, artificial ones, those long ones that look like birds, wings, you know, bird wings. That's what I mean. There are those who physically, they have bird wings, eyelashes. When they blink, you think they are taking off. They are not taking off. They were just blinking. Yet, when they pray, their heart is like that of Nathaniel. There's not no guile. Because God, look, so let's not, that's not, where I'm going is that, don't have the impression that you can't ask God for good things. If you like makeup, and I hope you know, makeup is in the Bible, you can use it, it's okay. Alright? Wicked people in the Bible used it. Righteous people used it. Do you follow my point? And Jesus recommended it. Alright? What's wrong with these people? You say, where? He said, you should anoint your face when you are fasted. Some of you will fast, you'll be looking sad. Jesus said, rub your powder. Exactly, pomade.
Do you get what I'm saying?
So where I'm going is this: if your makeup finishes, and you don't have money to buy, tell the Lord. Some people will not do that. I'm telling you, do it. Say, why should I bother him? Look, he has money. He has everything. He can buy a private jet for you. He can buy makeup for you. To him, the cost is the same. It's about speaking. Learjet B, it will be. Mary Kay B, it will be. It doesn't, it's the same effort. The problem is your heart and mine. For him, it's the same effort. If your makeup is exhausted, just tell him simply, dear Lord, I don't have makeup again, and I don't have money. The salaries I'm expecting, and you know I took a loan on that. I'm even going to cut it, and I cannot prioritize this. Not because it's not important, but because there are other things more important. So, Lord, please, I want makeup. But can I just ask for one thing? Since you are the one buying, can you buy the higher quality one? Do you follow my point? You know, makeup comes in categories. There are some you finish rubbing by evening, you have skin rashes. You get my point? You have a skin rash. You have a skin rash there. There are some been clinically tested. Hypoallergenic. Tested on everything. One day my wife finished dressing up, making up. Me and my brother, one brother were talking. It was years ago. And I looked. Oh my God. The brother said, Pastor, is it your wife you are traveling for like this? I said, you said, look, don't you think she was looking good? You know, the makeup was, Jesus is Lord. Damn, man. There's good quality makeup. The one they said to you in traffic is suspicious. No, there's lipsticks some women we use. You smile twice, that's cracked in 17 places. No, I just watch now. Just see some people. You just walk, you wake up in the morning. You see some people on the road. They talk. I say, so this is lipstick. I mean, like, why is it looking like this? Everywhere, you know, lips have small indentation. Everywhere, your own has crack there. It's quality. It's cheap. Where I'm going there is that, see, tell the Lord, I want a good one. I want a good one. Some of these hair, these women wear. Guys, don't ask them how much it is. If you don't have money, don't say anything. Look, if you want to chase a woman that wears very nice quality wig, don't talk about it. Talk about spiritual things. And then you see, good morning, Sister Angie, I don't know. I'm fine. You know that what pastor said last Saturday? My God, do like say you must sit here. Because if you hear the price, you will lose faith, though. You will lose faith. You know I'm the one telling you. Just do like you didn't see it. If she brings it up, it's explained to her, all flesh is grass. All flesh is grass. Oh, the Lord is good. Where am I going there? Even as mundane as make up my look, ask the Lord for it. And like I said, if it's prayer, tell him, since you are the one buying, buy this type. This other one, I don't like. It's too cheap. It doesn't look nice. And you know what? He doesn't mind. He doesn't mind. Faith is recognition, I told you. Just saying that the power belongs to God. Say, I want good. He said, I'm looking for a good, rich husband. You will marry an idol. And idols must behave like what they are. Idols. They carry evil spirits. They carry evil spirits. If you want wealth, prosperity, wealth, kneel down. We found this from scripture. The Bible says that it is the Lord thy God that does what? Gives you the power to create wealth. It's God. It's not a human being. It's not a human being. So a husband will not give it. A friend will not give it. A country will not give it. And please stop being, you know, some people, you know, See, Dangote is not a member of my church. He has never given me a dime. He doesn't know me. He's not a Christian himself. So I'm not saying anything because of him. But at least I can say this. He's the world's richest black man. He's the richest African. And he lives in the same country where you live. And you say nothing good comes out of it. Are you blind? The next thing they will say, listen, what's the next thing they say? Government is helping him. You know why they don't help you? You're not... how do I say it now? I'm looking for a word. God has not... Okay, let's be nice. Let's be nice. God has not commanded them to help you. But the real thing that they can't help you, your heart is wrong. Now, let me... You see, some people are very wicked. They're angry with the rich every day. There's no need. One day I was talking to a woman. I was just explaining the prospect Nigeria has about refining fuel. He said, hey, hey. So were we in bondage to this man? That was the only thing he said. It's the only thing he said. The man that God used, you can be angry. Do you know right now? Eh? If they expose that, Dangote stole $10 billion. You know, it doesn't, I'm not saying he did. I'm just trying to say if they did. Do you know it doesn't bother people like me? I just said, did you build a refinery? Yes, we forgive you. Be angry with him. That's your problem. Listen, I hope you know. He doesn't eat more than I do. Do you know that? I've checked his clothes. They're not finer than mine. Me and him, in fact, God is good, has been good to me. Me and this big boss, we shop in the same shop. You can be there. You don't. I know what I'm telling you. I am telling you the truth. One day, my brother, you know, sent me a pack of clothes. He said, that is what Otedola will wear. Can't tell you some things. We shop in the same shop. Not because I'm too rich, but because cloth na cloth, and once I have entered into the league by the blessing of God, hallelujah. I know what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that, so don't be angry with him that he has billions. See, don't you see what he wears? Very, very simple. Very, 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 very. So, don't be angry. The point is that God has used him to do something for you. That's what matters. Now, where I'm going is that instead of you going around grumbling, government is helping him, why don't you turn it around? Father God, my help comes from the Lord. And if you command men, they will help me. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Don't get angry with anybody. Because the thing you're angry about today is what God wants to use to bless you tomorrow. Do you follow what I'm saying? What I'm talking about, the fact that you don't eat more than you, is that at the end of what you call wealth is there for everybody to use. You know, it's in the scriptures. When money increases, the number of mouths that eat it increase. What I'm telling you, the whole story is that, look, nobody should come and sit down to you and tell you that the problem is the country you are in. It's not true. It is not true. Stop. Look, the Bible says once he has spoken, that what? The power belongs to God. The power doesn't belong to North America. It doesn't belong to America, United States. I like the one America is just doing, just throwing everybody into confusion. Donald Trump has thrown the whole world into confusion. That is, today there's a tariff. Tomorrow it has been paused for 90 days. But the ones for China will go. China say, we will tariff you. It may be tariff each other. It doesn't. We talk about crisis in Nigeria. Listen, if you are in an area, there are some areas that are pretty hot. We have one in Enugu. Benue State has. Plateau State has. You understand? And a few, but let me, I just want to give a few examples there. Every day, people are in the newspapers. They are online. They are complaining about what government is not doing. Let me tell you this, I know as a matter of fact. The government, the military, they are trying what they can. They are flexing their muscle as much as they have it. Don't forget, they are not fighting bricks and not fighting trees. They are fighting intelligent people who also plan. It's hard. You see where I'm going? Do you know if brethren in that kind of place will sit down or gather themselves share the word of God, they kneel down in agreement and pray. The Bible says, I will make him hear a rumor. He will return to his own place. One day, the men of war there, the rebels, the bandits, the attackers, can just pack and run back to Libya from where they came. Run back to North Africa. Just run away. Because I said Libya because ever since Gaddafi was captured, a lot of problems came down towards this. And Nigeria took a lot of it because of wealth. Do you get my point? Yeah, it's money. If you don't have money, what are we fighting for? So a lot of the people that came to Nigeria to cause trouble is because there's money to be made there. That's why I just said what I said there. People will just gather and pray. They will just gather and pray. And then the troublemakers, God said, I will make them hear a rumor. And it's God that's doing it. There are times, he said, I will gather the weapons of war, turn them to plowshares. People still, you know, the power belongs to God. They want to tell us that the power belongs to government. I'm telling you, it doesn't. It's very important that you don't carry your destiny and donate it to a human being by your thought process. Look, doctors want to intervene in your life. Please, remember the power. Okay, you're going to ask me, so what is the role of doctors? Let me be honest with you. I've thought up and down. Eh? They are only faith extenders. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
What I mean is that God comes down because faith is important. There are things God wants to do. And we can't receive it. Yeah, God wants to do something. To hold it is spiritual energy. That's why I say it again. Please go to church. What did I say? Hear the word of God. Make sure your faith is always built. Because sometimes God wants to do something. Please, let's trash this out again. We keep on going back there. God wants to do something. But our faith can't carry it. And so, he doesn't do it. He told Peter to walk on water. His faith couldn't carry it. He sank. Are you getting my point? Yeah. I said to you, look, John the Baptist, an angel went to the mother. I mean, it's not overtly stated like that in the scriptures, but I know it because of my knowledge of spiritual principles. An angel went to the mother and said to the mother, that's Elizabeth, you are going to conceive. Just like the angel went to Mary. And the woman said, look. This is not going to work out like this. You have to talk to my husband. I say that because you can go and read the story of the conception of Samson. It's the same thing that happened. You understand? So the angel had to come back to see Manuel also. I read my scriptures. The women always were the ones that had that stirred up the faith to conceive. Yeah, read your Bible. Angel talked to Mary, Manuel's wife. That's what happened. It's always like that. Sarah, the Bible said that by faith, she received the power to conceive. So that narrative in the Bible was about Abraham, but the same thing went on in the life of Sarah. Abraham had to teach Sarah what the Lord was saying to him. Those who don't understand their laughter, I don't want to start talking about it, taking me off main thing I'm trying to say. Their laughter was not mockery. That's why the boy's name was Laughter, Isaac. Isaac meant laughter. So the woman had to stir up her faith. God trained her faith to be able to receive. I hope you're getting my point. Now, this is where I'm going. When the angel came to see our old man brother, what's his name? Zechariah. You know, the angel talked to Zechariah, and Zechariah was talking nonsense. They argued. Do you know how long the argument was? It was so long, people outside were wondering what was happening. It's not a two-minute narrative. The angels sat down there. You know, when angels come to you, they don't come like transparent, you know, holograms and that kind of thing. Yes. You can put your hand through the angel. No, it's a person. It's a person. You just see one human being. Just like it does strange things like coming in through the wall. Or going away from you on the smoke of the sacrifice you offered. You know, they do strange things like that. Certain, I want to light something, they use their finger to light it. But otherwise, They look normal to you. They look normal. So Zechariah sat down there. They argue with somebody. He said, "Your wife is going to have a child." He said, "Look, people go around Enugu these days saying all kinds of things. Where did you get from? You don't know this is the inner court of it. What are you doing? This is where priests are supposed." The guy said, "I'm an angel of God. God sent me to you." That's how the other day, this. Ha! The angel they look like. What kind of imam is this guy? He said, "By the way, your wife is going to have a child." Zechariah said, "Don't, you're an angel, right? Don't you keep records of dates in heaven? How old am I? How old is the woman that you say will have a child?" The angel said, "You're a priest for nothing. You don't even know the Bible. I'm the one that's a priest for nothing. And you call yourself an angel. Look at the way I insult him." Two of them stayed there. People were wondering outside, what is going on? After a while, the angel said, "Enough. You will not be able to speak. The other part you didn't hear is that you'll not be able to hear." He couldn't hear, couldn't speak. The angel just got angry. Your wife is going to have a child, and you will not be able to speak, you will not be able to hear anything until the day the child is born. Now, why am I telling the story? Before you wreck her faith and she miscarries. Because that sort of a man is in the house. He said, "You get belly? You're sure it's pregnancy? Have you gone for scan? This won't be like 5 minutes. It doesn't look like pregnancy. Is it food? You know, when you went to that Mama Nkechi's baby, I knew that the abacha is so deceived. It looks very hard. You swallowed all the abacha. Look at your stomach, is now big. Now, indigestion. After a while, the woman will start bleeding, having stomach pain, and then she will miscarry. The angel said, "Oh boy, don't spoil our work." And closing mouth, closing ear. The guy was so preoccupied with his, he was going from one ENT surgeon to, while his wife's pregnancy was progressing. He was confounded. That angel did him strong thing. Some of you think it's only here, you couldn't hear, and then talk, couldn't talk. Wasn't even thinking clearly. Say, "Good morning, sir. Is it morning? I thought it was night." He didn't see the woman's stomach grow. He didn't see anything. He was so preoccupied. There was a fuzz around his brain. The day the woman, because the Bible said it was the woman that by faith received the power to conceive. So the day the woman now delivered, he said, "She don't born." Then he believed. This guy didn't believe until Elizabeth delivered. He did not believe until Elizabeth delivered. They now said, of course, the angel now removed the force around his brain. And then said, "Aha, I knew you couldn't hear." He said, they were making signs to him. What would the boy be called? That's how I knew he wasn't hearing. And it was now writing, "His name shall be John." That was when he finally remembered the thing the angel said. When I talked about the whole thing, I was a bit dramatic about it. Just trying to emphasize something. That woman's faith had to be preserved. That woman's faith had to be preserved. That woman's faith had to be preserved. Otherwise, she would have miscarried that child. So there are things that God wants to do. Our faith can't carry them. They are too heavy for our faith. So what he does a lot of times is to come down. You know, God is good. He's very, very good. He comes down to meet us where he can. Kenneth Hagin said that, I learned that from him. He knew his wife was going to die, and she was going to die young. But he went and prayed and begged the Lord about it. Now, what I'm telling the story is that the woman's mother had a huge goiter. He laid his hand under the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He laid his hands on her. The goiter went down, according to him, as if you put a pin in the balloon. One moment was there, next moment it was not there. Her daughter, his own wife, had the same problem. And there was no prayer, he didn't pray, he did not go down. Where I'm going is that, see, no, before I get there. He said the woman had been giving him instructions on what to do with the children. Because she expected to die. She knew she was going to die. And that was one reason why she did not agree to go to hospital. Because the man said, okay, if we can't pray this way, let's go to the hospital. Let the doctors operate. She said, no, I'm not going to come back from it alive. He kept on praying for her. He kept on praying for her. Now, the day he had the vision from God, listen to this. Then the Lord told him that the woman will not die. The day he had the vision, what did God say to him? Now, these are the exact words. Tell your wife to go and get operated on, for she will live and not die. Did you hear what I said? He had laid hands on her mother's womb, and it didn't shrink like that. Prayed for his wife's womb intensely, nothing happened. But then he realized that the woman was going to die, and the Lord confirmed it to him in the vision that yes, and he prayed for her that, no, Lord, please, I do not want her to die. And the Lord said, no problem. Because you asked me for it, I will let her live. And then one day, they were having a worship session in church. The Holy Spirit was moving. Then suddenly he had a vision. And the Lord said to him in the vision, tell your wife to go and get, even though he wanted her to live, he wanted to heal her. He said to him, tell her to go and get operated on, because she will live and not die. Why did he not heal her directly? Because there are so many dynamics. Her faith couldn't carry it. Her faith was not able to carry what the Lord wanted to do. So the Lord came down to that level. Because as a believer, if God has not spared your life, the doctor will kill you for you. Will kill you for your children. Will kill you for your husband. So when you say, thank God for the doctor, you are right. You had better thank God, because he's the one that walked through his hands. Look, what I want to say sounds funny, right? Doctors are dangerous people. You know the reason why? Not because they are bad people, though. Because regularly they carry tools that can kill. When I was working then during NYC, I told my nurse to give an injection to a patient. They sent the patient to go and get the injection. Just give a prescription. Go and buy this and bring. I said, give an injection to bring down blood pressure. She gave the injection to raise up blood pressure. What happened? I walked back there where the woman was. So I saw a bottle. Now, those of you who know medicine a bit, the woman had preeclampsia. And she gave her IV adrenaline. She did not die. It's God that said you won't die. I said, give hydralazine. I wrote hydralazine, adrenaline, to the uninitiated, the sound that I like. So I wrote my prescription. Do this, do that. I gave. So I was, of course, it's a clinic. So I was going around. So I came in at the point in time. I saw one empty vial. No, when I came in, I said, doc, hey, this patient almost fitted though. Why should she fit? I said, okay, thank God. How does she know she's fine? So we're just sitting there. Then I picked up an empty vial. I said, what is this doing here? He said, that's the adrenaline I gave. I said, you gave her this? IV push? She said, yes. I wanted to kill the woman. Are you stupid? Adrenaline comes as powder, which you have to reconstitute with water. This comes as liquid. Should I? But let's not go into details. You broke this and pushed it into her vein? Yes. I almost fainted. What happened that the person who supplied the wrong thing? This woman didn't check. Just broke it, injected it. Bam! You want to go to hospital and operate? I feel sorry for you. These are human beings. These are human beings. One patient died the other day. What was the problem? They prescribed a dose of drug. They used the correct drug, used the correct everything. The doctor used the correct dosage according to the textbook. The patient died. When the seniors now came and said, what happened? They were reviewing the case. Widow is the youth. Yay! Don't mind the book, oh! The patient was dead. They were shouting. You know now, their own experience has said you go for half the dose for certain reasons. That those who use that dosage, we don't do that here. They need to have this kind of support. This one just said, what dosage? I've been a professional. I just went to the standard books to check the dosage and the patient died. So when I say dangerous, I don't mean they are bad people. I mean they carry weapons of war. If they fire wrongly, you're dead meat. It's not Nigeria. People say that's born in Nigeria. No, one of the most interesting cases was in Europe. One guy went for a routine. He went for a hernioraphy or something. There was not a strike, so the anesthetist was overworked. They intubated him and didn't give him oxygen. By then, he woke up to reality. His brain was damaged. It happens to be in part of Europe where there's no compensation. This was a top athlete. They made one mistake. When they for the surgery, somebody just didn't supply oxygen to this guy's brain for a number of minutes, and his brain fried. The man to keep him alive was a vegetable for the rest of his life. He lived for me under 20 years in a vegetative state. You just carry your body. He didn't pray. You just carry your body. You can't give to one human being. Say, remove your clothes. You remove it. Bend over here. Bend over here. A kind knife caught you, and you did not pray. How can you not pray? I believe absolutely that doctors are nothing but faith extenders. And God wants to heal you. You understand? He blesses them. And that's what your faith can carry. If your faith was bigger, if it was enough, you would touch the hem of his garment and be made whole. It's possible. You just read the scripture into water and drink it and be fine. You take a walk and repeat the scriptures to yourself until your whole body will imbibe the life-giving force, the resurrection power of Christ Jesus. The life-giving force in the word of God. Your soul will imbibe it. But like I said, God is not angry. He's not. You know, like, even me as a person, be honest with you. If I have symptoms that look like malaria, when I was a child, those days, take one shot. Not of quartet. It's gone. Yes, I'm being honest with you. But I've had more serious problems before. I said, don't worry, leave me. I'm not doing anything. Sometimes I go and I'll sleep. Sometimes I go for checkup. I say, I cannot start what I cannot finish. I'm not going. Yeah. I said, when you start, where will you finish? You found something at the bottom of my brain. As you go and look, you want to go and look for it, have you? I will give you my head to cut open. You're not serious. No. Look, the way I do my own things is based on one principle. I will not die a day earlier. Not a day earlier. And if God says it is time, you can't snatch me out of his hands. He said, I am the Lord, thy doctor. The power belongs to God. So, look, I'm not saying anything is wrong with medicine or doctor. I'm not saying that at all. But know that no matter what, the power belongs to God. That's why it makes me like, say, people are looking for money. You want to go for a checkup abroad. Checkup. And you're looking for money. You should know that you can't afford it. So that hassle, is now it has become idolatry. The hassle has made that activity, has turned it into idolatry. Because at the end of the day, the power belongs to God. I told the story. I read this one. That's about two, three years ago. This guy is a doctor. He lives in North America. He exercises. He went to the gym, finished exercising, carried his bag, let him go home. He fell on the sidewalk and died. No, did you hear the things I said? Number one, what is his profession? Number two, which country does he live in? Or did he live in? United States. Let's see, specifically United States. Number three, he used to exercise. Yeah, are these not the things that are supposed to keep you alive? These are the things that should keep you alive. And he finished exercising. He took his bag, walked out of the gym, collapsed on the sidewalk, Nigerian guy, and died there. People say it's village trouble. Whether it's village trouble or city wahala, I don't know. He has died. And I'm saying God could have kept him alive if he kept his faith with God. Please, if that's anything I say today, let's get to our message. Open 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to do what I did last time, which is to read this portion. Then we'll go home. Then, hopefully, next time. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's read from verse 15. I read from the New Living Translation. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. A workman that does not need to be ashamed, he says. He said, be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus. They have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from the faith. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone. With this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. And all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. I like that one in the a classic one. It says, everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now, the point is that in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver. Some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones for everyday use. I'd like to just use the proper expression there. It says some are for honor and some to dishonor. What that means, some are for washing your feet, washing your hands, some are for eating very well-cooked food and to be used to serve to important guests, all right? It's not just about everyday use now. He said, however, so now, which one do we choose? Are we a vessel of honor? He said, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. So he said to Timothy, you're a young man, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living. The word is pursue. Put energy into that. When they are doing seminars on how to keep yourself pure, go. Don't bother with the one how to trade crypto on the internet. That one only leads to poverty. How to keep yourself pure. How shall the young man control his lust? Go to that seminar. That's the seminar you need. How should a young person conduct himself or herself in a relationship? That's the seminar you need. Not how to network and make money. That one leads to poverty. He said, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Listen, if your best friends are unbelievers, your faith is doubtful. Do you get my point? Yes. If your idea of an evening out is to go to where Agoda is telling jokes with unbelievers, your faith is being crippled. Go to where Nathaniel Bassi is playing. Do you get my point? And leading worship. I don't find it interesting. That is because your faith is not serious. When you have this lightness all around you, only light things excite you, you got a problem. One day my son asked the brother that whether she could talk to daddy, that they want to go to, is it Uyo? He went to do something for her in Lagos. And that whether daddy would permit him to go to Uyo, to go and attend a conference for the weekend. He will come back on Monday. Ah. I said, did they beg for that kind of thing? All I told him that, he wanted to go and enter a bus. It's church conference. They will go and that their pastor, eh? My God in heaven. Some of you think I can preach for long. Better be thanking God for my life, because if you grumble and I tap some anointings, go and ask favor. Then they were talking. Favor said that. I said, your pastor can talk for long. Favor said, this one that I do. I said that this is not what I'm going to preach. But till next time. He said, no, be him. He will use digression for 2 hours. Then the thing he wanted to preach for that day, he will still preach it. You are the one that he does. He will still preach it. Like if he's the one that he just started. Because what I came to preach is one I'm just reading the Bible now. He said he will still preach. I said, what? One day he was preaching like that. I told my son, I said, this guy is still preaching. What's going on? He said, it's Sunday now. There's nothing else to do on a Sunday. I kept quiet. So that day when he told me that he wants to go for his conference, I said, she want to go and hear the word? No problem. He said, they devoted done one day. He will catch with the rest. I said, no trouble. So I said, I told him, I said, I just asked him, do you have your ID card? He said, yes. I said, go to the airport. Show the ID card on the counter. They'll give you a ticket. I was like, oh, Father, thank you. Yeah, I was going to sit in a bus from Lagos to you. Your mates are taking permission to go because Davido is doing gyration. Do you follow my point? You ask for permission to be on the road for like 6, 7, 8 hours to go and attend the conference. Ah. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. That's what. Because he says here, pursue righteous living. Pursue it. Faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Let me stop reading here. We read this last time. What are we saying there? That the way you do great things for God is to do small things as a habit. Right things. Righteous things. Right things. Righteous things as a habit. That's how you do great things for God. You only have yourself prepared. And I want to talk about preparation last time. Last time it didn't work out. This time it's not working out too. We thank the Lord for what has worked out. It's when we are prepared. I said something last time. Let me again say it. Then we'll develop it next time. When God creates us, there's not a game of chance. We are not. This is not random harmonic motion. You know what they call random harmonic motion? Mm-hmm. This is not Brownian motion in liquids. Molecules running up and down, jamming each other. No, that's not what it is. The Lord ordered things, arranged it. I perceive that, of course, we know this will is one. There are no two. That's what you call the perfect will of God. He wants Jesus to come to the earth, take the Holy Spirit in his fullness, live for a few years, minister to the sick, preach the word, then go to the cross and be sacrificed for our sins. That's his will. He wanted John the Baptist to come ahead of him. Stay in the wilderness, teaching the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in preparation for the coming of the Lord. That's his will. And once the Lord is about to start, he removed John the Baptist. Once that decision has been made, how it will be done is another debate. So, in John's case, say remove his head. And they did. That's his will. And that young man came. He said, you will follow the ministry. You will hear the word. You will be a witness to the miracles. You will witness the resurrection. And then you will go all over the world announcing the gospel. But the Lord said, him, he will not do it. Why? he prepared himself for something else. As life was going on, he became a thief. He began to take advantage of young girls. He began to defraud people. But he had a call to follow Jesus Christ. So God said, let him still enter. But he's a devil. So Jesus said, I've chosen you 12, but one of you is a devil. So he entered the ministry, his destiny was sealed. He followed the Lord Jesus and betrayed him. And his name is Judas, or was Judas. Was that God's plan? Well, let's put it like this. Yes and no. Yes, as in, after he gave himself over to uncleanness, they fitted him into the role of being a betrayer. But if he had given himself over to cleanness, if he had purged himself of all these things, he would have been a vessel unto honor. He would have gone the way of Peter. He would have gone the way of John. He would have gone the way of James. He would have gone the way of Thomas. All of them. They had their down times, but they always came back up. They were filled with the Spirit, and they took the gospel everywhere. So what you end up doing for God is decided by how you live your life. Do you get my point? Moral life, faith life. That's what we are talking about. That's what so let me just introduce it again, and then we'll develop it next time. It is not that you are making a decision either for good or for bad. The decision for good, decision for bad, was made before you came on the scene. It's where you will enter into that you are deciding. And how much of it you will enter into. How much will you fulfill is what you are deciding. But the path itself has been decided. Do you understand that? Again, let's just give the Lord thanks. Let's just say, Father, we thank you. Just thank the Lord for the word that came forth today. Just thank the Lord. Say, Lord, I thank you for your word that came forth today. Thank you, Lord. Again, you know, when we are preaching, it's like that all the time. When we are preaching, some things are being said and some things are being heard. So pray according to what you heard. Pray according to what you heard. There are things that have been said and there are things that have been heard. Pray according to what you heard. Especially concerning faith. Say, Lord, let me see you. It's what you see. Say, Lord, let me see you. It is what you see. He said, I was beholding, or I beheld Satan falling like lightning, so I could give authority to my disciples over him. Jesus knew that Satan was beneath his feet. God is helping me to teach Christians their position in life. It's what you know. I don't pray about witches and occultic people. It doesn't concern me. They are beneath my faith. It's what you know. So, Lord, please open my eyes. I want to know. Lord, give me understanding. I want to know. Lord, help me to know. Sometimes just knowing what is wrong will keep you away from it. It's the reason why you don't drink just anything in the house. Because you know there's some things that are poisonous. So Lord, let me understand the poison in iniquity. It's knowing will persuade you not to do it. Ask for insight. Ask for understanding. So let me know your power, Lord. Pray that for that also. Say, Lord, let me know your power. He said, once he has spoken, twice I've heard it, that the power belongs to God. And loving kindness is with him. That's very important. His loving kindness is with him. The power belongs to God. There is nothing that anybody here needs that God doesn't have and that God does not control. You'll be surprised that, you know, he creates, how he does it, I don't. That's why he's God. He creates a husband out of, like thin air, creates children out of it. And gives as a gift. I can't forget that picture. My wife and I saw them. The woman's hands were out. And the Lord was handing her a child in his hands. The power belongs to God. The power belongs to God. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise. Lord, we are grateful for the things you have taught us about yourself, about knowing you again today. And as we depart from here, Lord, we ask that these words will stick with us and continually play back from our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, I pronounce your blessing upon your children. And I say to you, God will go with you.
Amen.
His power will shield you everywhere.
Amen.
These words that you have heard today will speak to you again and again.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, I need to rebuke sickness in somebody's life. Now, if it's somewhere, you're aching somewhere, just put your hand there. I want to pray. In the name of Jesus, Father, where that hand is, let your power flow into that sight in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We lift up your name, the Lord, our physician, the Lord, our doctor. On the cross, our pain was taken away. On the cross, our troubles, all our infirmities were nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. And because that power is now available, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pronounce healing upon everyone whose hand is placed somewhere else in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There are parents who are praying for their sick children right now. Lord, I ask you to show mercy and have that child healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
On your behalf, we speak the word that this one will be healed.
Amen.
So this is the word of the Lord. Be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Spirit of infirmity, we drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now please bless two people on your side. So this is your season. Bless somebody else. Please, before I tell you one for yourself, let me just make a special announcement. All those of you will be blessing your wife and your husband. It doesn't count, too. It doesn't count. You can bless them at home. When you come here, look for somebody else. All right? I'm going to give all those of you who are guilty one more attempt. Yeah, go and bless somebody else. Amen. Amen. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. Now, one for yourself. This is my season. This is my season of demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, cheer up, brethren. God bless you.